Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome to Hope Chapel, especially our live stream audience. I want to just thank you again for the way with which you go ahead and just address what God's doing in your life, in your home, and in your setting. But there's something wonderful about being in the chapel here with one another. So this really is a believer's, but we're always excited when we have people who are just kind of checking out churches online. We realize that's a real benefit. So please stay with us during the whole service. Matter of fact, if you can, jump back on at 10:30 Pacific Standard Time, where you can watch a few of our water baptism candidates. So we're going to be excited about people who are declaring their faith in Jesus. It's a big deal. It's a big deal for them, and we get a chance to be a witness for that. So in the meantime, I want to just go ahead and greet you who are in the chapel here. Thank you for that. It's a beautiful setting, and you sure sounded good. I was back there listening to the harmonic settings. And you know that we're going to be really 2 weeks from today. Everybody say 2 weeks.
2 weeks.
Is Easter Sunday. Woo! Can you imagine? So go out, buy that special Easter bonnet. Does anybody wear those anymore? Maybe a hoodie. But we're hoping that we get a chance to see some great things are happening here already, even in your church and in your community. So I just want to highlight that. Next Sunday is Palm Sunday. That is what we would call the triumphal entry, the last week of Jesus. And so that's a big deal for Christians. We start to commemorate what Jesus is. We call it the Passion. When Friday, we call it Good Friday. Now, somebody dying on the cross, suffering and dying, is not good, but what Jesus did for us is good. How about it? Amen?
Amen.
So we call it Good Friday. And then he is in the tomb. And then on the third day, he resurrects. We're going to see that reenacted on water baptism. People say, man, Jesus had me on his heart when he was dying and bleeding out. And then he was laid in the tomb for me. Then on the third day, he rose again for me. It's all that in water baptism. Boom, symbolizing that. Pretty powerful. That's called the gospel, by the way. Gospel means good news. Good news. That's a powerful thing. And the Apostle Paul said it that way. I've delivered the good news to you. 1 Corinthians 15, how that Jesus died for our sins according to the scripture. It's a quote. How he was buried and on the third day rose again according to the scriptures. All three are in water baptism. So if you've not given yourself completely Jesus yet, especially through the testimony of water baptism, hang out there and see how that's done. That's why we really have a chance to display that publicly. We're going to have quite a crowd this second service. We already know that. With 10 people being baptized, they're bringing friends and family. I welcome your prayers. And I welcome, you're going to see in the message as well, how important that message is going to probably be this morning. So as we begin, go ahead and make sure you get your bulletin card out. Let's still take notes, even though our life groups are on a spring break. Everybody gets a spring break. And so we want to make sure you get a chance to write that note out that you're seeing God speak to you. We're dealing with something called forgiving. Forgiving. As you know, we've had our series, how that God goes the extra mile to bless. God goes the extra mile. But what's important for us today, we're going to be wrapping up this series with the terminology of forgiving. And that's the way for freedom and blessing. Freedom. Now, I want to just start first and then we'll pray. You know, not all of my jokes are doctrinally sound. So I heard a cute one about this woman. She found herself passed away, went instantly right there to the pearly gates, and there's St. Peter welcoming her. And she said, oh, St. Peter. He goes, how do I get into heaven? He said, well, it's very easy, young lady. You just spell the word I give you. Oh, well, what is that word? Well, it's love, L-O-V-E. Oh, well, she spells it out, L-O-V-E naturally, right? So enter into heaven. But St. Peter says, hold on a second. I need to take a little station break. I want you to hold the gates for a moment. What should I do? What should I do? Just do what I have done. So lo and behold, she's standing there, and up comes her ex-husband. And her ex-husband says, Claire, what are you doing here? Well, Well, how do I get into heaven? She goes, well, it's very easy. Just spell one word.
Oh.
Well, thank you, Claire. What is that word? Czechoslovakia. Well, you know, heaven is actually easier than that by just accepting Jesus. Amen. But let's come before him for a moment. Father, open our hearts because we're believing for miracles today. We want to thank you for that. And we just come before your Lordship. We gather around the Word of God. Speak words. Speak life. Lead us in that way in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, once again, we're taking a look at forgiving, the way to freedom and blessing. That is our message today. Let's just show a sign of maybe challenges in our life, like me. How many have a hard time forgiving others? Would you raise your hand? Now, keep those hands raised. Don't go be shy on me. Okay, if you didn't raise your hand, that means you may have just lied. And you need to be forgiven. Why don't you just turn to somebody with their hand not raised and say, I forgive you. I forgive. Yeah, let's practice that out. I forgive you. Yeah, be free. All of us need to forgive. It is not easy. It is a tough thing to do. One of the things about this message today, it's not just to teach about forgiveness, but I have found some Christians are what I call the plastic bubble of unforgiveness. It's just something that's there, and they can't enter into the things of the kingdom because something is holding them back. And I want to say it's their inability to release forgiveness. And when we talk about forgiving is the way to freedom and blessing, then this is going to be very important. We find that there are times that people will enjoy other people's testimonies. They celebrate other people's victories in Jesus, but they don't seem to be coming to the party. It's like, I don't know if you've ever picked up the Bible and it reads like the Wall Street Journal. It's like, ooh, what's going on here? So you may want to consider with me, you could find that shield going on saying, why can't I enter in with such jubilee like I see other people doing that? So when we take a look today, it's possibly the Father could be withholding something from us. And I want to begin by just seeing Mark chapter 11, verse 24. Let's take a look at Mark 11, 24, reading from the New Living Translation. I tell you, you can pray for anything, and if you believe that you received it, it will be yours. Man, I like that. I'm claiming that one. But look at verse 25. But when you are praying, first forgive anyone you are holding a grudge against, so that your Father in heaven will forgive your sins too. Now, that's in the Bible. I see that. You see that. Please understand when I say this very clearly, a lot of people think that people are going to go to hell because they're murderers, they're basically are liars, they're swindlers, they're sexually immoral. Those people are going to go to hell, but that's not the case. People will go to hell because it's a sin issue. They have not asked God to forgive them of their sins. Jesus came and died for the sins of the world. So please remember that. All sins are covered in the blood of Jesus. That's why we celebrate Easter. That's why the victory over the grave that grossly impaled all of us into this out-of-control life. So when we take a look here, I think the most dangerous heart condition we can have is unforgiveness. And when we have not been really forgiven, our faith will not work. We're in real trouble because everything we receive from God is by faith. And if our faith doesn't work, you're in trouble. So it's important that we get a chance. And I hear people, I sit and I hear a lot of stories over the years. And people often say, but Pastor, you don't know what they have done to me. And I usually will tell them, if I heard what they have done to you, I probably would agree with you. Absolutely. But sometimes people use that line as an excuse for their hatred and their bitterness and their resentment and naturally their unforgiveness. So we take a look here. People who want to serve God, this is going to be one of those things that are so vital. And we believe in a God who brings recompense and justice and real freedom and healing. So this is not just a message for today. Say, oh yeah, I know that one. This really could be a breakthrough for some of us today. A breakthrough. Because we just kind of like smoothed over it. So when we take a look at today, let's deal with the elements to forgive. Let's look at number one. To forgive is not an action, but an attitude. That's very important. It's not an occasional thing, but it's going to be an established habit in our life that we are going to do. Like, if I ever get trounced upon, I know I need to forgive. It's interesting because Christians and people in general that want to pursue things of God and His Word, they don't get tripped up over the technical aspects of the Bible and God. They don't like, oh, man, I'm bumming out because of the seventh veil in the temple. We're all debating on what material it was made of. Or the possibility, I'm not sure, what day should we go and celebrate the Sabbath? Or the possibility, man, I'm just frustrated with the end time timetable. I find people trip up over the very basic things, and this is one of them. This is a basic thing called forgiving others. So when people have a difficulty, why this is so difficult, anything that cuts across our flesh, we really have a hard time. That humanity of us says, well, I've got a free choice, and my willpower is going to stay strong here. But it's all a perspective, isn't it? It's all a perspective. I have 11 grandchildren. We have 11 grandchildren and a 12th in the oven. So when we now have these 12 years and under down to like months old, we have them around the dining table. I won't shout out a name because I didn't ask for their permission. But all of a sudden you see that. It's like, what's wrong, son? And they just scowl, and it's like, well, my brother breathed on my food. Perfectly good plate of food. But they go into a death fast over somebody breathing on their plate of food. Isn't it perspective? It's important that we get a chance. There's a parable that Jesus talks about. It's interesting because this parable is all about unforgiving servant. And when we deal with this, the Apostle Peter, he's asking Jesus, how often should I forgive my brother? And he just like throws out a seven. It's a good number, isn't it? And Jesus said in Matthew 18, and we're going to go there now, Matthew 18, verse 33, it's worth noting because in that, Jesus says not seven times, but 70 times seven, verse 22. But let's look here because he gives the meaning of the parable. And a parable is a worldly resemblance or a worldly meaning to try to describe a heavenly truth, a parable, a story. And so he gives the example of how that this one particular servant of the king owes a great deal of money and he moans and pleads for mercy. And the Bible says that that king was moved with compassion and forgave him. And then that same servant, you know the story, went out over chump change, grabs his fellow brother and throws him into jail for it until he pays him. But the Lord says something here about a heavenly truth that I think is what we're talking about, this plastic bubble of unforgiveness. Check it out. Verse 33 in Matthew 18. Shouldn't you have mercy on your fellow servant, just as I've had mercy on you? Then the angry king sent the man to prison to be tortured until he had paid his entire debt. That's what my heavenly Father will do to you if you refuse to forgive your brothers and sisters from your heart. Now, I've read that. I somehow don't think that should be right. But nevertheless, it's in the Word of God. So to forgive is not an action, but it really is an attitude. It's our perspective, what we think we should forgive and what we think we should not forgive. It just says we need to forgive. Heard a cute story. Let me add that. It's amazing Before I add that, let's say for an example, this guy Zeke runs over my dog and kills the dog. I'm mad at Zeke. I'm really mad. You animal hater. You disgusting person. You're just a filthy person. So Zeke comes to me and says, man, I want to make restitution with $10,000. Help. And I'd say, well, sure. You know, I have three dogs at home, too, you know, if you want to mow them over. It's interesting how that is. It's perspective. We have to be careful about that. Heard about a Christian father who raised a loving teenage daughter. Saved money and sent her to college. In the first semester, he receives this email from her. Let me read it to you. Dear Dad, I thought I would write you this letter to bring you up to date with what's happening in college. It's been a real bad first semester. First of all, I started experimenting with drugs and I overdosed. I was asked to leave college, so I dropped out of school. But there's some good news. I met a guy named Chuck. He plays in a band on weekends, and I think we're going to get married pretty soon. And by this time, the dad is starting to get weak-kneed. We've been going together for 2 months, and hang on, it gets worse. He doesn't have a steady job, so since we're going to get married pretty soon anyway, he moved in with me. His friends come over and give us some food every once in a while. They're a little bit different, but they're okay. Dad, I think I'm pregnant. And Dad, I think it's okay I dropped out of school to have this baby. You can imagine his poor dad. He's dying 1,000 deaths. And then he sees this blank on the screen, scrolls down a little further, and he reads, Dear Dad, none of these things are true. There's no drugs, there's no guy named Chuck, and I'm not pregnant. But what is true, Dad? I got a D in French, and I'm flunking calculus. And I need $500 to pay my book fees for the next semester. Dad, what do you think? I think this time the dad's going to write a $1 million loan, don't you? It's like, we're good. We're good. You can see the perspective on this. It's like, ooh, I'm going to roll up my sleeve on this one. But it's important we take a look at that. God asks us to do things. Number two, check it out with me. To forgive is not an apology. What do I mean by apology? You know, sometimes when a person says, I'm sorry, you know, that is, an apology is how a person feels. I feel sorry that I did that. Well, what are you going to do about it? We should say, please forgive me. I'm feeling remorse over that. But that's important for us. Person, I feel sorry. Well, yeah, I got four broken fingers out of this. What else are you going to? So it's important we get a chance to forgive. And Jesus explains forgiving others just the same way we're asking to be forgiven. Let's look at Matthew chapter 6 for a moment. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 14, it is the ending of what we know as the Lord's Prayer, Our Father who art in heaven. Remember that? And in that section, the Lord's Prayer, forgive us our debts as we forgive those who are indebted to us, or forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Or one little boy says, Lord, forgive us of our trash as we forgive those who throw trash in our trash baskets. But let's take a look here in verse 14, Matthew 6. Jesus says, For if you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. I love working with godly people. And sometimes it's like, how come you're not entering in the joy and jubilation we're all experiencing? Sometimes people are withholding forgiveness. And that area where we find ourselves deeply in trouble. So to be forgiven, I know I want to be a quick forgiver because I know I am going to need to be forgiven by Almighty God. Amen? Matter of fact, let's just practice that once again. Would you just turn to somebody, you don't even know them, and just say, I forgive you. Yeah. And you just say back and say, thank you, I receive that. Now that's important also to receive forgiveness. Sometimes people say, "Will you forgive me?" And they say, "No, I don't." It's like, wow, not good. Just write this down somewhere. There are two marks of a great Christian. Here are the two marks. They are a forgiver and they are a giver. You can say that interchangeably. They are a giver and they are a forgiver. You want to find a great Christian in your life, those two marks are going to be theirs. Two pillars that are going to hold them strong. Two pillars that are going to have people come to them and say thank you. Number three, to forgive is a promise to not hold a grudge. That's important. It's a cold, calculated decision. I'm going to forgive you, and I'll never go back to bring up the muckety-muck as a reminder how you owe me. So that's going to be important that we get a chance to not hold a grudge. Let's take a look at Romans chapter 12. Verse 19, you following along with me at home? Thank you. Thank you. Hang in there. It says this, "Dear friends, never take revenge. Leave that to the righteous anger of God. For the scripture says, I will take revenge. I will pay them back, says the Lord." Man, it's like, sick them, God, sick them. But then I got to realize, verse 20, "Instead, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals of shame on their heads. Don't let evil conquer you, but conquer evil by doing good." Isn't that sweet? Oh, that is so Christ-like. That is so Christ-like. And nobody's going to be able to do that except a transformed heart, mind, and Jesus. Oh, man. We take a look at number four. To forgive is not faith, but a command. It's a command. Remember, Jesus says, if that person wrongs you, it's not seven times, but 70 times seven. This is one section where Jesus is explaining it once again. It's a lengthy section. I hope you can follow along with me. Please check it out. It's in Luke chapter 17, verse 3. Because Jesus says something here that it is a sheer command. It's a command. And for good reason, because we wouldn't do it if we just, because we are waiting to feel like it. But let's check it out with me. "So watch yourselves," Jesus says. "If another brother sins, rebuke that person. Then if there is repentance, forgive. Even if that person wrongs you seven times a day and each time returns again and asks forgiveness, you must forgive." Now, I see that, don't you? How many would have a hard time on the sixth time that day? It's like, nah. But here we go, verse 5. "The apostles said to the Lord," show us how to increase our faith. That's why, like, ratchet us up here, Lord. This is not of human origin. "And the Lord answered and gave an example. If you had faith, even as a small or small as a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, 'May you be uprooted and be planted in the sea,' and it would obey you. When a servant comes in from plowing or taking care of sheep, does his master say, 'Hey, come on in and eat with me?' No, he says, 'Prepare my meal, put on your apron, serve me while I eat, then you can eat later.' And does that master thank the servant for doing what he was told to do? Of course not. In the same way, when you obey me, you should say, 'We are unworthy servants who have simply done our duty.'" Wow, you know, that loving Jesus sometimes just is such a great teacher. It's like, you want me to thank you for just sending you out there and showing and demonstrating forgiveness? So it's important we get a chance. Jesus is telling them, this is really a command. I need to hear that. Because I find sometimes people forget, they're waiting basically for number five. To forgive is not a feeling. One of the reasons I've not been able to forgive in the past is that I don't feel forgiven by God. I don't really feel like God's forgiven me of certain things. And the devil who tempted me to do that is always there in the background reminding me, oh yeah, don't you forget that. That's not the heart of Jesus, but it is works of darkness that'll come along. So if we're waiting to be forgiven, or we're waiting to feel like forgiving others, remember, it's a command. It's like water baptism. It's like water baptism. Jesus said, hey, you Christians, go out there, teach them what I've taught you, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. People trip up on the basics, don't they? It's not the big details. People trip up over, I find water baptism, when I just don't feel like I'm ready. People trip up over tithing. I don't. Do you believe in tithing? I do. Have you tithed? I'm kind of like growing into it. Oh. Do you believe in forgiving others? Yeah. Do you forgive? It depends. So it is interesting how we work that out. And I like water baptism as the example. It's like prescription medication, right? You get that prescription medication. You take that prescription medication to get better. You don't wait to become well to take the prescription. You get her done to get better in your life. Don't wait for it. Don't wait. Don't wait till, because we're so wishy-washy. Let's take a look at Ephesians chapter 4. Remember, to forgive is not a feeling. Verse 3, and do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. I think we can grieve. The New King James says, don't grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Sometimes the bummer feeling or the oppressive element is just God's Spirit saying, Paul, I would expect better. You've offended that kindly old lady. You go make restitution. It's like, Lord, what's wrong? I'm not getting anywhere with you this morning in prayer. What's going on? Don't grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Remember, Scripture says, He has identified you as His own, guaranteeing that you will be saved on the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. Let's take a big breath. Doesn't it feel good to be forgiven? I mean, it's like fresh oxygen. Just as God has forgiven. It's like, man, I remember the day I gave my life to Jesus. It was like a ton of bricks being lifted off my chest. What just happened? Sometimes I've got to identify those things that may not necessarily be wrong to you in God's eyes, but to me it is. He and I have probably that close proximity. Paul, you be careful with these things. And so it's important that we hear from God. And not waiting to feel like doing the right thing takes that Christian into just a stall out. But to do the right thing really starts bringing about tremendous maturity in a Christian's life. Don Richardson, a missionary and teacher, said in his book, Lords of the Earth, he said, people can become our own lords when we become negotiable in what we feel we want to decide on doing. Be careful about that. Let's take a look at number 6, our final one. To forgive others is God's will. I like that, don't you? We're so close. Let's go to Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. It says, since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, I like that, You must clothe yourself with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Well, that's important. How is the world going to be set free from the sins that are out there except you release them of that? Be that promoter of forgiveness. There's a story about two missionaries, Stan Dale and Phil Masters, in 1968, missionaries to, really at that Papua New Guinea area, Irianjaya, where they went in to the Yali people, and they were the most violent people ever. These were people that were desperate in areas, they were fierce in their way of dealing with things, animalistic. They were deeply superstitious. They practiced human sacrifices. They were cannibals. And at that time in 1968, anyone that went in to see them never came out. And so these men felt compelled that the gospel needs to reach these unreached people. They're on the internet. You can check them out. That story has quite impactful. And so we have basically Stan Dale or Stanley Dale goes to the Yali Indians and he tries to reach them in the higher mountains, upon which tribal men come around and shot him three times or five times with arrows. Pulls him out, goes to the hospital, recovers and says, I'm going to show these tribal men and this village the love and mercy of God and how there's a resurrection. So he prepares to go back, this time with Phil Masters. And they go into the higher area on the far side, great story. And this time, more warriors come on out. And there it is, Stan Dale starts to preach, I forgive you. Jesus wants to show you his forgiveness. And all of a sudden, the first arrow strikes his chest, boom. And then all of a sudden, the tribe starts getting nervous. They're thinking that some divine retribution could come. We need to get out of here. And the arrows start coming at Stan. Boom, 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 boom. They say 50 to 100 arrows hit Stan. He's pulling some of them out and preaching Jesus to them. Phil Masters is on his knees praying while Stan's getting riddled. Finally, Stan could not stand up, and he collapses. Phil stands to his feet. You have killed my brother, history says. And upon which they start filling him full of arrows. Phil Masters went to that region with his wife and four children. Those children are now adults, and they tell the story. What's amazing about that, both of those men, they were cut up. Their bones were grounded, as is the custom, to disperse their remains by the tribe for the fear of the resurrection. But a revival started happening in the Yali Indians. And 2 weeks later, they said, how could we do that to such brave men? And they were so remorseful. They started to say, who is this God? And to this day, that segment of Papua New Guinea, thousands of churches, because of these men, it's an amazing story. You need to see what's happened in that. The Bible translation that's happened there, it's profound. Mel Tari has that in his book, Like a Mighty Wind. It's powerful to see and to read that. So when we take a look here, let's see one last scripture. It's in Matthew chapter 18. Jesus said this. Remember when he said, Matthew 18, 21. He says, and Peter came to him and asked, Lord, how often should I forgive someone who sins against me? Seven times? No, not even seven times. Jesus replied, but 70 times 7. When we take a look here, go back to the issue of forgiveness, make sure we don't wait till we are feeling like we should forgive. My desire is that people come out of that plastic bubble of unforgiveness. Sometimes I'm finding there's still that work of God's grace to get us back out of quarantine, back from the pandemic setting and get back into the public setting where we can celebrate people's lives together. But I really want to believe for a miracle today, that God's going to do a miracle today in our midst. And I want your attention. And I want your attention. I'm going to give a list of 15 things we possibly need to release forgiveness toward. 15 areas. And I want you to just hear the Holy Spirit say, you need to make that decision. And I'm asking you to do just that. And then we're going to just really see how people are going to be set free and maybe, possibly, even have a miracle physically over their bodies. Maybe a real blessing starts coming because you feel like, man, how come I'm getting nowhere with God? This could be that day for that to happen. So I want you to consider something with me. I'm going to read off 15 segments. I welcome you actually to close your eyes. And if any of these areas resonate with you, that you withheld forgiveness, then my encouragement, my heart's desire, and I believe God, the Holy Spirit, would say, I'm asking you now to forgive them. So let's take a decision. Let's believe that's going to happen. And you consciously say, I forgive them. Here we go. Eyes closed. Eyes closed. Eyes closed. First person we want to release forgiveness to is God the Father. Lord, where were you when my daughter died? Where were you when my mother died? Second person would be my husband or my wife. You don't know how bad they treated me. Third person, my father, my mother. They failed me badly, and I have struggled most of my life because of how they treated me. Another one, four, my brother or my sister. We're talking physical, brother or sister. They can really hurt our family members. And you just may have made a vow, my brother will never do that again to me. Number five, my son or my daughter. Their action can cause parents a great deal of pain and torment because what did we do wrong? Number six, my friend. They left me standing in the rain. When I really needed them, they weren't there for me. Seven, a neighbor. And I'd like to add race or ethnicity. It could be white or black, or Hispanic. Number eight, people at work or people at school. Number nine, your business partner. How many of you have had Christian business partners and they just weren't very Christ-like in their conduct? How about a school teacher? Some school teachers have a way of embarrassing us. Number 11, a doctor. The mistreatment has really set you back and harmed you. Number 12, your lawyer. Painfully, they let you down. And with a high cost, too. Your pastor. We're going to release forgiveness for pastors, too. Or just people. The church. A lot of people love Jesus. They just really don't like the church in general. And they stay away from the church. Number 15, myself. You know, suicide is on the rise. And oftentimes we don't forgive ourselves. We refuse to do that. So if any of those areas you had the Lord speak to you, release forgiveness, and you're ready to forgive, then now I want to invite you to stand and say, I was one of those, or maybe a few. Just stand your feet. Remain standing, please. We're going to believe for a miracle. As you stand, praise God. As you stand, we're going to believe that God's going to make a beautiful element of recompense, freedom, bring upon a peace and a blessing. And you who are at home, if you're still reclined, I encourage you, you stand to your feet. Stand to your feet and allow the Holy Spirit in your setting to bring a great breakthrough. The Lord is so good. Oh, He's so wonderful. He's here now. And remember, He's forgiven us of so much, so much. And He's just asking us now to be in that position, that divine position to release forgiveness for those who have really harmed you. And in so doing, that harm's going to come off. Thank you, Lord. Father in heaven, we want to thank you. You've come to set people free from the original sin when Adam and Eve said, no, we're going to go our own way and disobey. Lord, today we choose to obey you. And Lord, we forgive. And we thank you, Lord, the same way you're reminding us how much we've been forgiven. Holy Spirit start to flow. Power of God start to come. Gracious Heavenly Father, start to enact in such a way those things that we have not been able to see answers to in our longing and our prayer. Lord, start to move now. Start to move now. Lord, the opposition of our resentment, bitterness, anger, absolute unforgiveness has been removed. Lord, we thank you. We speak healing. We serve a God who is greater than all those offenses that have pummeled us. God, you're greater. And we want to thank you, Lord. Wash over us. Where have we been defiled by the sins of others? We forgive them now. Just whisper that too. I forgive them. I forgive them. I release them. I release myself. I forgive myself. We're going to invite our prayer wall team members up. And I want to welcome you all now to stand to your feet. Sean's going to lead us in a worship song. I want to encourage you. Praise God. We're still in service time. This is not the time to go. This is a part of our service time. I want to encourage you now to come down the center aisle and find somebody that's available to pray with you. And let's see what God will do now. Because you released forgiveness, you ask big. It's that Mark 11. Remember when you stand praying, remembering that you have aught against somebody, go make it right. Leave your gift there. Make it right. That's amazing how Jesus asks that. And then come back and offer your gift. Let's ask God for those same prayer requests. And let's see what God's going to do. Or maybe you just need to tell them, just no names, but I believe God's forgiven me of these things, mainly forgiveness. It's a powerful time. It's our time. So as the worship song begins, you come find your way here to the front. And I'm going to invite Ainsley to join me too if we need that, okay? So let's worship the Lord together. I want to thank you for joining us today at Hope Chapel, Huntington Beach. It's our desire to bring the teachings of this church to others globally. If today's message has brought you closer to Jesus, we want to know. Can you send us an email to office@hopechapelhb.org? Would you consider supporting this ministry financially? You can give securely online at hopechapelhb.org/give. If a check is your preferred method, you can send a mailed check to Hope Chapel, P.O. Box 548, Huntington Beach, California, 92648. If you want to be contacted by Hope Chapel, would you consider subscribing to our weekly newsletters at hopechapelhb.org/subscribe? Whatever season of life you're in, we want to go through it with you. We want to thank you once again for joining us, and God bless you.